So I'm going to talk to you today about walls and giants. Could you say that with me? Walls and giants. Say it again. Walls and giants. And I'm going to try and make this short exhortation. Please bear with me, because sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, I've got more word in me that can, right now, that I could, you know, I could pour it out for the next hour, if I'm honest. But I have to cut things short because I want the Holy Spirit to lead and to have His way. All right, from the beginning of the year, we've been talking about our God, ourselves, and others. And we said the most important thing is our God. And we find that as we focus on our God, He focuses on us. As a matter of fact, His eyes are on you already. And the Bible tells us that He has plans for you before you were even born. It's not just Jeremiah, and it's not just people mentioned in Scripture, but it's true for all of us. Psalm 139 bears that out quite clearly. So on the path of obedience and greatness that God has placed us on, there are always challenges that we have to face. And some of the challenges are internal, and some of the challenges are external. And today, for the purposes of this exhortation, the walls that I'm going to talk to you about now are internal. So I'm making reference to walls as being things that we need to face internally. And the giants that I'm going to talk about, they're external forces, okay, that come against God's people. So we need to pay attention to both sides of this. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about our hearts, and we've got to guard it. We've got to make sure that we protect it. But sometimes in protecting our hearts, what we do is we build walls up, okay, for whatever reason. And internally there are warfares going on, turmoil going on, struggles going on. And I'm going to deal with some of the causes of these walls to go up. They go up with a good intention, but can end up doing more harm and doing more damage than intended at the very beginning. But if we look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, you can write that scripture down. Proverbs 25, 28, it says this, and it's a very important verse. I'm going to blow up two of those words from this verse. Number one, it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. I'll read that again. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Okay, now that's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. So therefore, I must have control over my own spirit. And by that, we're saying I must have control over me. As a matter of fact, you do have control over you. Okay? That's the thing that we need to realize. I have control over me. Now, whoever has no rule over his own spirit, that word rule is the Hebrew word masar, M-A-S-A-R. M-A-S-A-R. And masar means restraint or control. So, whoever has no restraint over his own spirit, over themselves, whoever has no control over themselves, you are in control over you. Okay? You are in charge of you. You are in control of you. Alright? Now, the Bible says, whoever has no restraint, whoever has no control over himself, is like a city broken down without walls. The word walls is the word homa in Hebrew. And it means to join, it means to construct. So a person who has no restraint or no control over themselves is like a person, if you like, with no construction. There's no construction going on in your life. In other words, then, you are not building your life the way that God wants you to build. You're not building with the Word. You're not building with the Holy Spirit. You're not building with the principles and precepts of God's Word. All right? So that's what you lack. Anybody that finds himself in that category. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Write that reference down, because I'm going down to the walls of Jericho, which is found in the book of Judges, I think. Is it Judges? I think it's the book of Judges or Joshua, chapter 6. We all know the story. I'm not going into the story. We're not going to turn there, but I'm just going to lift up a principle from that. The walls of Jericho were big. They were large. Okay? And they were built to protect the people within. Okay? and the people within weren't doing right. The people within did not honor God. So in other words, in the city where the walls were protected was stuff or people that needed to change, and they refused to change. And so these walls were there, but we know that God said to Joshua, tell my people to get up early every morning for 7 mornings. On the first 6 mornings, march around the city of Jericho once. And when you march around that city once, this is what I want you to do. Tell my people not to say anything, to keep silent. Nothing came from their mouth, not a sound. Go and march around those walls once. So do for 6 days. And as we know, they did that. And I've often said when I preach on this, that the enemy must have thought, how ridiculous these people. They did it yesterday, they did it before, and look at them, they're doing it again. They're just getting up, they're not saying anything, they're not doing anything, they're just marching around the wall. And they did that for 6 days in a row. And on the 7th day, instruction came, and we all know what happened. They marched around 6 times, and on the 7th time that they marched around, the instruction was given that they should give a shout. And as they gave a shout, as they gave a cry, as they banged whatever things that they had with them, they made a great noise unto the Lord. That it may seem like noise to the enemy listening in, but to God it wasn't. It was a logical instruction, if you like, that the children of Israel had. And when they marched around the 7th time, you and I know what happened. The walls came tumbling down and Israel had victory. What am I saying here? I'm saying sometimes walls are built up in our hearts, and we've got to be careful, and we've got to examine ourselves to make sure that whatever is in my heart pleases God. Because if it's not, it becomes a hindrance. And maybe this is somebody here this morning that you've got issues and there's stuff that's there. It's not that you're a bad person, but it's just that there are things there that are preventing you from really receiving the fullness of God. And what the Lord is saying to his people this morning is those walls have to come down in Jesus' name. Like I said before, walls are built up to protect. And sometimes we build walls up when we're hurt by people. I'll never do that again. And then we write with our tongue now oaths, curses sometimes, without realizing that's what we're doing. I'll never go to that place again. I'll never give myself to ministry again. I'll never serve this people again. I'll never lead again in this capacity. And when we say those things, what we're doing is we're using our tongue to write those oaths on our heart. And already what we're doing is we're building up walls. And those walls stay with you. It sounds insignificant. It sounds like trivial. It sounds like nothing. But I'm telling you today by the power of the Holy Spirit that it is something. And it is a spiritual hindrance to the work and to the progression of God in the lives of his people. And the Lord wants you to know that whatever walls there are, however insignificant they may seem, they need to come down, and they will come down in Jesus' name. Because the light of his glory is going to come shining through. So Hebrews 11:30, this is what it said. It said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. So how did they come down? By faith. Remember now, faith, if you can see it, touch it, smell it, hear it, taste it, it's not faith. It's not sensual. It's spiritual. Okay? And that's why we've got to perceive in the spirit before we receive in the natural. But as we perceive, we receive. As God moves, as his word goes forth, he moves. And he does what he pleases in a heart that is receptive to what he is saying and what he is doing. And that's why faith is important. And that's why Romans 12 verse 3 says, to every man is given the measure of faith. We are given faith because we need it. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Because you cannot accomplish anything for God without faith. So we need that. Now, let me talk a little bit about, I'm just going to give you 9 things. Still on about walls, and I'm going to leave it. 9 things that can cause walls to go up. 9 different things that can cause walls to go up. Number one, neglect. And I'm not going to preach on all of them, okay? Or exhort on all of them. I'm just going to name them. Neglect, okay? Number 2, injury caused through criticism. And that's why we have to be careful how we use our mouth, how we use our tongue. Careful how you point a finger on a brother or on a sister. Careful what you have to say about people. Careful when you think you know everything and you don't know everything about the circumstance. And yet you're willing to talk about it and let everybody know about it. Yet you don't know everything. Very dangerous. And very, very dangerous. Because you not only do damage to yourself, you do damage to others. Number three, insult. Or you can put in bracket, unkind words. Number four, abuse. These cause wars to go up. Abuse, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, whether it's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, mental abuse, and the list goes on. Any kind of abuse will cause wars to go up. Number five, guilt. Guilt, feeling guilty about something and not dealing with it, causes wars to go up. And we've got to be careful even with that, because the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. And he could be accusing you of something that happened in your past. Come on, everybody, say with me, my past is my past, and God has forgiven it. And sometimes, you know, I've been in church a long time, and I've seen a lot, and I've experienced a lot. Okay, and sometimes I've seen believers having a problem with that. Things happened years ago, and they have a problem, you know, dealing with that. And they drag their negative past into their present, not understanding that God, even God is saying, what are they doing? I've forgiven you. It's in the past. As far as the east is from the west, so I've removed that from you. So why are you dwelling on that? And that's because of the accuser of the brethren bringing back something to cause the individual to feel guilt. And God doesn't want you to feel that way at all. Number six, selfishness. Selfishness, self-centeredness, I, me, and myself, what I feel, what I want. And if I don't get it, wars go right up. So number seven, pride. Pride goeth before destruction, the Bible says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we've got to watch out for that spirit, because pride is a spirit. Number eight, fear of not being accepted if the truth is revealed. And I've seen again through my own experience people who have held on to this quite wrongfully and find themselves trapped in the wars that they've built up in their own lives. And number nine, the last one I'm going to give today, and there's a whole lot more. Grudges or past offenses not resolved. That's where grudges come from. Past offenses not resolved. And that's why it's important. That's why Pastor David is the way he is. I step on things. I deal with things. I don't brush the dirt under the carpet and call the room clean. When something confronts me, I confront it and I face it. And that's the way I am with individuals as well. When they come for counseling, I give them straight counsel. You're not going to leave my home or my office. You're not going to leave it wondering, what did he mean? Did he mean this? Did he mean that? And if you do that, it's because you weren't listening properly. But because I'm very direct, and I will give it to you direct, and I will tell you straight. In love, but straight. Because that's the way people need it. And people need to know they come to a trusted source. That can, somebody who can give it to them straight without beating around the bush and wondering, oh, am I going to offend them? Am I going to mush their corn? Are they going to like me after this? No. The truth is the truth. Can I get an amen? And that's what we need. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
All right, good. That's what people need to be free. And as God is raising up his people, as God is presenting us to others, we've got to be aware of that. That people will be looking on you. People will be judging you. People will be even coming to you now and asking you something because of the light that they see. Because there's an attraction in your life, something that is pulling them towards you. And so when they come, they expect to hear from you something more than what is. And that's because the Holy Spirit is, you know, inside of you, drawing them to you. Write the scripture down, John 14, verse 30. The Amplified version I'm going to read. I will not talk with you much more, Jesus said. For the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of this world is coming. And then Jesus went on to say four things. And I've quoted this before, and I'm mentioning it again now. He's saying that the evil genius, the ruler of this world, is coming. Well, hang on, let me stop there a minute, because somebody might say, well, isn't he already here? Yes, he's already here. But it's like, look, all right, the devil is not omniscient. He's not everywhere, okay? Omnipresent, sorry. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere like God, like the Holy Spirit. He's not everywhere. He can't be everywhere. That's why he has his angels all around. But what Jesus, I believe, was referring to when he said that the evil genius, the rule of this world, is coming, he's coming with his intensity. He's coming with his forces. He's coming with his dynamic workings. So yes, he exists, but he's coming. He's got a name. He's got a strategy. And that's why the Bible says we should know that the strategy of the enemy. He's coming, and he's coming forcefully. He's coming deliberately. He's coming with attacks strategically aimed at God's people. So we've got to be aware of that. Now, Jesus said these. Right, number one, he has no claim on me. That's the first thing Jesus said. Number one, no claim on me. Number two, he has nothing. There's nothing. He has nothing in me that belongs to him. Nothing in me that belongs to him. There is number three. He has nothing in common with me. All right, he has nothing in common with me. And number four, he has no power over me. No power over me. So those four things Jesus said. And I've used that, and I've often in my own life, and I've said, you know, I examine myself and I said, Lord, help me, because have I got anything in common with him? Have I got anything in me that belongs to him? Is there anything in me that belongs to him? Am I a liar? Am I lazy? Because that's not of God. If it's not of God, it's of the devil. I don't count work. I don't criticize, I don't backbite, I don't use my mouth excessively to bring people down. I don't do that. Is there anything in me that belongs to him? Because that's what he does, you see. Like I said, he's the accuser of the brethren. And so therefore, I can stand and I can say, and hopefully you can as well, that he has no power over me. And that's what God wants us to do. Listen, every wall in our lives can come down in Jesus' name. And I declare today, if you've identified walls in your life before you leave this place, it's coming down in the name of the Lord. And as the walls come down, you're going to see light coming through. The light of God's glory, the light of God's provision, the light of God's power coming down. But there's no power, there's no glory, there's no light with unless those walls come down. So that's internally. We've got to look inside ourselves. And these walls are intangible. Because as I said, they're internal. But let's talk about giants. Okay? Giants are those persons, places, or things that present itself too large to conquer. Giants are intimidating. Right? They're intimidating realities that bring with it false ideals of insignificance and hopelessness. So when you look at something sometimes that the enemy presents itself, just like how David looked at Goliath, Goliath presented himself as, you know, the champion, and that's what they called him. He was a champion of the Philistines. And this champion thought that he could look at little David and bring him down and defeat him. But of course he couldn't. Because David was from a different army altogether. Praise God, we're from a different army altogether. Amen. We're from the army of the Lord. And so therefore, church, you're on the winning side. I say it again, church, you are on the winning side. No matter how it looks, you are on the winning side. But you're going to learn how to face your giants. You can't run from them. For 40 days and 40 nights, 1 Samuel 17 tells us in verse 40. No, what verse? 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 16 of 1 Samuel 17, the enemy came and intimidated the whole army of the Lord, Israel. 40 days. 40 nights until one little shepherd boy turned up on the scene. He was a little shepherd boy, but he had a great God. You may be little, you know, I may be little old David, but I got a great God. You may be in eyes of others a little old this or a little that, but you've got a great God. And if you make yourself available, God can use you. Okay, for greatness. In the name of Jesus Christ. But what did David do? I wrote this down. Let me just give it to you. Let me say this first, and then I'm going to say something. Three things David said I'm going to give you in a moment. Giants aim to shift your focus from the things of the kingdom to them. or to other things. That's what giants aim to do. And that's why they're intimidating. They want you to focus on them. Oh, look at me. I'm great. I'm big. You can't conquer me. I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm taller than you. Giants come to shift your focus. So now you've got to be determined that your focus is not going to be on the giant. Yeah, you may look at the problem, but you're not focused on the problem. You're focused on the Word. You're focused on God. You're focused on His purposes. Are you with me, church? All right. So giants come to shift your focus, but that's not going to happen with us. This is what David did. David said three things. Let me just give them to you. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, he said, "The Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." What was he doing? He was making a declaration. He was making, if you like, a profession. Right? That's what he was doing. He was declaring the end result. "The Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now, David was speaking to the king, King Saul, when he said that. The second thing, in verse 45, the second thing David said, there's more, but I'm just speak three. In verse 45, David said to the giant, first one, David spoke to the king and said, no, God's going to give him to me this day. The second thing, David said in verse 45, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied." So what did David do? He spoke to the giant, and he spoke boldly to the giant. He wasn't whimperish, like the rest of the whole army, these big, tall, experienced soldiers. That let fear took a grip of them. David took the Lord with him and was able to face that giant and made what? A declaration. "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, who you have defied." And then in verse 46, the third thing I'm picking up that he said is, "This day," now he was proclaiming. Listen, he was making a proclamation. Right? He said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." Did you hear that, church? He was making what? No, it's not a declaration. He was making a what? Proclamation. Or he was prophesying. It was. Remember that the word proclamation, what it means? It means what? Yeah, but how? The word pro means for, yeah? And climation comes from the Latin word clamare, all right? Which means to make a declaration, which means to speak or to declare something or speak out something or to cry out something as if you have it, as if it's yours. So that's what proclamation means. It means to cry out. And by the way, proclamations are always loud. They're not quiet. You can't make a proclamation by saying, "In the name of Jesus." David didn't do that. He made it out loud. Proclamations are loud. They're deliberate. They're forceful. Okay? He made it out loud. He claimed that thing as if it was his. He prophesied what was going to go down. Listen, that giant, you may be told, you may come with all of this, but I've got God on my side. I'm proclaiming today that you are going down. And he did. He went down. He made that proclamation. And then he did whatever he did. And you know the story, and I know the story. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7. By the way, before I go to Zechariah 4 verse 7, I watched something the other day. Pastor Jonathan was with me at that time in the bedroom. We watched something that I think you only watched it with me. It was very interesting. A group of Christians went with a man and his wife, actually, but they're experts in the field. They actually went to the Valley of Elah. That's where the battle took place between the Philistines and Israel. Did you watch it with me? Yeah. And they went there. And they actually went to the spot, the place, because the Bible says that on one side of the mountain on one side was the Philistines and Goliath. And on the other side was Israel. And folks, guess what? It's a vast distance. So when you read in the Bible that the giant was talking to David and David was talking to the giant, they actually went there, and the guy stood up on one end, went down into the valley, went over onto the other side, and was shouting or making it, you know, just shouting something, saying something. And the valley, the way it is, and the way it was back then, carried his voice where he was heard clearly. Excuse me. So I thought that was very interesting. because he carried his voice where he was heard very clearly what was said and what was done. So sometimes we read things and we say, well, how could one man sit on one side and the other side and they're having a conversation? Yeah, that valley carried the voices. So that's just a little bit of a thing there. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this. Who are you, O great mountain? Not O mountain, but who are you, O great mountain? Now remember now, mountains were things for this purpose of this exhortation. Things that we can see. And sometimes when we're facing things, you know, the angel of the Lord was here speaking. And this is what the angel of the Lord said. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Sometimes we're going to look at our mountains and we're going to prophesy into their lives. We're going to proclaim in the name of the Lord the end result of that thing. It will not stand in your way anymore. It will not be there in the name of Jesus, because victory is ours. You're going to say it, man. But if you don't confront your giants are always going to be there intimidating you. Always going to be there dictating to you that you can't serve God here. You can't do this here. You can't do that here. You can't go here. You can't go there. Because look what you did. Because look at you. Look at what you've not got. You look at how you are. And that's why it is so important that we have the right self-image of who we are. Because if you don't, if you have a wrong self-image, you're already defeated. And Jesus would have been defeated if he had not had a right self-image of himself. Now, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The things that we see that are in the way, that are hindrances, that look big and immovable, we've got a God and we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got his word. God has given us power to speak to those things. Now, just like the children of Israel marched around the walls 7 days, you know, we may need to make declarations over and over and over again before you see that mountain come moving from before you. But in the name of the Lord, with faith, it will go. Write this down. Isaiah chapter 40, I just read verse 4, but it's very interesting because verse 2 talks about the city crying. It said, cry out to Jerusalem, cry out to the city. Sometimes we need to cry out to our environment. Cry out, not talk about. You know, cry out. That means out loud, declare and proclaim to the city. Verse 3, cry out in the wilderness. You may be in a wilderness place now, a dry place right now, a barren place right now. But even though you're in there, you're not alone. And you've got stuff inside of you and power inside of you. And the message is, cry out, even if you're in the wilderness experience. You cry out to the Lord and cry out and declare in the name of the Lord the end result. Don't let your environment keep you, okay, from where God wants you and where God is leading you. Don't let that happen. Don't look at your environment and say, oh, poor me. Oh, look at me and look at this. And this has always been like this. It's always going to be like this. No. No, no, no. That's not the God we serve. And God wants us to trust him, believe in him, and go forward in him in Jesus' name. So that's verse 4 I read. Verse 2, cry out to Jerusalem. Verse 3, cry out in the wilderness. And verse 6, the voice said, cry out. Cry out what? Cry out the word. You need to read the whole chapter. I haven't got time for that now, but you need to read the whole chapter to get the fullness of this. Now, I'm going to close because I've got more to say. I was going to talk about policies and laws and principles, but I knew I wouldn't get to that today. We pull down our walls and our giants by acting on God's word and by declaring and speaking from our mouth what God says. You want to know how to pull down your walls? You've got to use your words. You want to know how to move giants? You've got to use words. That's what we see from Scripture. The walls of Jericho went tumbling down because the people opened their mouths and gave a shout, cried out when they were supposed to. David defeated Goliath, but before he did that, he prophesied his end. He made a proclamation and made a declaration, okay, to others as well. And then the giant was defeated. You want to defeat your giants? You want to pull down walls? Church, you've got to use your mouth. You can't be afraid to shout out. You can't be afraid to cry out. Can I give you these scriptures? I've given them to you before. I'm going to give you them again. Psalm 18 and verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. I haven't got time to look them up now because time is gone. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 19. Psalm 142, verse 1, verse 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Let me stop there. I could go on. But all these and more scriptures, okay, you know because you got your Bible, man. They talk about crying unto God and they talk about shouting unto the Lord, you know. And when we cry unto our God, Psalm 34 verse 17, I think it says, this poor man cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard him and did what? And delivered him from all his fears. Okay, from all of his fears. And a fear is a spirit. When spirit comes to intimidate and to tell us that we can't have this or we can't have that. No, no, no. God's word says differently. And so we believe God's word. We choose to believe God's word. I'm going to read one actually and then I'm stopping. Psalm 100, one that I've not mentioned. Psalm 145 and verse 18. Psalm 145, verse 18. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. And so may the Lord help us today, church. And when we do call upon him in the name of the Lord, whether they be walls or whether they be giants, they will come tumbling down in Jesus' name. Let me just... Some of the giants, let me help you a little bit. Some of the walls that we could fear, you know, jealousies, wrath, anger, some of these things, backbiting, you know, some of these things, you know, can build walls inside of us. And we've got to be careful, really be careful that, you know, Paul said, let a man examine himself. And his Paul wasn't the only one to make sure that he's in the faith. Because we've got to make sure that wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we are not polluting ourselves. We are not stepping outside of the premise of God's word. But rather, we are doing what God wants us to do. Bow your head and close your eyes. And as I said that right at the beginning, this may not be for everybody here this morning, but if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you know that you have walls, I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Walls or giants? Let's just do it. So I just want to pray. I just want to pray for you. And by the way, as you stand, you're not standing to me. I'm just giving. Look, listen. You know what Pastor David does? Pastor David comes and delivers every Sunday what God has laid. I don't preach fancy messages. I don't do anything like that. I've done that before. Look, Holy Spirit pulled me up. And I've had to, boom, get rid of that and just do what God wants to do. Because at the end of the day, Jesus said, I will build my church. Okay? And he is, you are his church, he's building you. And this Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to come forward. Those standing on your feet, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you've not stood on your feet, come forward now. I'm just going to pray for you. Come and stand over this side for me, please. All of you, just come and stand here. And as you come in and you're standing, I'm just going to speak to you for a few moments. I want you to know that whatever it is that is facing you. As a matter of fact, before I say that, let me say this. The Lord would already begin to be speaking in your hearts and in your lives. Maybe, okay? He's already doing that. And what's happening is, you need to understand the process of God. Maybe you do already, but I'm just mentioning it again. Alright? When the Holy Spirit begins to move on an individual, okay, in lives, he'll begin to show up and the light will begin to shine and he'll begin to show you the errors. He'll begin to show you things that may be there that should not be there. Or maybe it's not that there's things there, but it's that, if you like, can I say this? It's a space. And God wants that space to be filled with his purposes, his love, his word. Okay? And so as you see that, God begins to move. All right? And as you yield to him, he moves. Now close your eyes, all four of you. Pastor Joy, Pastor Joe, please come and stand up. Just come and stand up. Pastor Joe, Pastor Joe. I want you to understand this. Okay? Your pastors are behind you now. Okay? But what I'm saying to you is this. That God loves you, he has a future for you, okay? He has a future for you, and a plan that will come to full fruition in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so whatever it is, and you know what it is, we don't even need to know what it is, but I'm telling you right now in Jesus' name, but you've got to bear with me, you've got to cooperate with me as well.
that those walls will come down in Jesus' name. Amen. You've got to be vulnerable to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so release it, let it go. Stop protecting yourself on the inside. Stop judging yourself wrongly on the inside. Because God is for you. And if God is for you, guess what? Who can be against you? And that's a great sickness that Christians and believers need today in the spirit. We need to understand that we are children of the living God. Okay? And that God has a plan for me, it will come to full fruition in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I just want to thank you. Just, Pastor, just pray for them. Just pray. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. For your people here, Lord. I thank you for the goodness and the fullness, oh God, of everything that you have purposed for their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I just start with your honor. And whatever walls, oh God, whatever the giants that she's facing, Lord God, cause her to know and to Father, believe in her heart right now, in Jesus' name, that you are greater than these things, Lord God. And that your purposes, your plans for her, will come to a full fruition, Lord God, full maturity of the things that you are believing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So Father, we give you thanks for this. And we give you all the praise right now in Jesus' name for what you are doing. And Lord God, we give you praise for the future that she will walk into, Lord God. She will walk in confidence, knowing, Lord God, that you are for her. Walk in confidence, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, that you are with her, Lord God. Because we are workers together with you, Lord. Even when we're dealing with things in our own lives, it's not us by ourselves, Lord. It's us together. And I give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks for Garfield. And Lord God, I just pray for him right now. And again, Lord God, whatever was, whatever chance, Lord God, you know and you see what he sees, Lord. I don't, but you do. But Lord God, we remove those giants now in Jesus' name. We say be gone in the name of the Lord. And we pray, my God, that your light, your power will come shining through. And that, Lord God, your grace and your mercy will be upon him, oh God. And that you will lead him, Father, into the future that you have created for him, Father. Your word says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises against him, oh God, in judgment, he will condemn, Father. Thank you for that authority and that power. We pull down everything now that prevents his progress, that prevents his destiny, that prevents him, oh God, from being the full man, oh God, that you have called him to be. We give you all the glory. And Father, we give you all the praise for what you are doing now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Cara, such a sweet spirit. Oh God, for such an open heart, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because, Lord, your word says, he who began a work in good work in me is faithful to complete it. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will complete the work that you have begun to do in the heart and in the life, Lord God, of Cara in Jesus' name. And again, we speak to every mountain. We speak, oh God, to those things that fabricate itself as part, oh God, of the paste tapestry, Lord God, of her life, Lord, that you have not placed there. We say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, be gone in the name of the Lord. We say, go in the name of the Lord. We pull down every mountain, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And, Lord God, we break this as well. We break every chain, the chain of our past, Lord. Oh God, we will not be brought into our present to affect our future. We break those chains right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, my God, that your hand will rest upon her. Be with her. That uphold her with your mighty righteous hand, Lord. And I pray that you will again lead her into that future, Lord God. Whatever it is, oh God, whatever walls there are, we speak to them now. And we say, come down in the name of Jesus Christ. Come down in the name of Jesus Christ. Come down in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, the light of your glory will come shining through in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing even now in her heart. Lord, I thank you for Simone, Lord God. Thank you for her humility and, Father, for her commitment towards you, Lord God. We thank you for her openness to the things of the Spirit. And I pray, my God, that you will continue to lead and to bless and to direct her, Lord God. And, Father, whatever, Lord God, the walls are, whatever the giants are, Lord God, that she's facing, Lord, cause her to remember and to know in her spirit she's not alone, Lord God. But not only that, Father, you have given us victory, Father. So I pray in Jesus' name that, oh God, victory will be orchestrated around her. And we give you praise, oh God. We come against everything, oh God, that comes against her right now. And that comes against the word of God. And that comes against, oh God, what you have planned for her. We declare that it's gone. We declare it null and void in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.
mighty name. Amen and amen. Can we all stand on our feet, church? Come on, everybody stand on your feet. And now I want you to remain, before we remain here, I want you to learn to speak out loud in Jesus' name and make bold declarations about your life and about the life of those around you. Do that now in Jesus' name. Come on, talk to those walls loud. Loud, loud, loud. Speak to those walls. Speak to those mountains. Speak loudly in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give thanks, Lord, for who you are and for what you are doing. Thank you, Lord, that you are in the business of removing yokes and destroying them, Lord God. You're in the business of breaking chains, Lord. Father, we give you this praise. And we give you thanks, Lord. We will walk into the future you have created for us, Lord. We will be the men and the women that you call us to be. Uphold us with your righteous right hand, Lord. Guide us, O God, we pray. And lead us, O God, in the paths of righteousness. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise right now, Father, for who you are and for what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Can we give the Lord a round of applause? Let's give the Lord a round of applause. God bless you. Can I ask all the children to come forward? Claude and Debbie, can I ask you to come forward, please? All the children, come forward. We love you all. We love you dearly, and God loves you too. And, you know, we parents, we have our lives. But you also, as children, have your lives. And God sees and knows that. And we'll let you know that God loves you. And he sees everything. Trouble at school. So I want us maybe a group here to minister to you, just to pray for our country. And of course, we really need you to pray. Can we stand and raise you? Point your right hand towards our children. It's very important that you get involved with this. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Your name and your word, Lord God. I know that you will just guide and lead them, Lord God. hope in you, and know that Lord will give that peace that surpasses all understanding that will guide their heart and their mind. I pray for their future, Lord, intellectually, Lord God. I pray that their mind will be open, Lord, and they can absorb what they need to know for their future that's a good one, Lord, in you. Lord, you know what they're going to be in the future, what careers they're going to have, and Lord, we just pray and declare in the name of Jesus it's a good one. And Lord, that you just pave the way for people in the past that need to be in their past, and remove people that need to be removed from their past, and Lord, that they can have a future, and I hope that it can be a good one in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated, folks. We're going to take communion together. Praise God. So if you